Welcome back, episode 133 of the Ranting Rangers podcast in partnership with Inside the Rink. I'm your host, Jacob Berkowitz, and I'm alongside co-host Brett. And in this playoff episode, we have on Will Wright from Blue Seats Blog, where we'll be discussing how Rangers fare against the Carolina Hurricanes, as well as reviewing the Washington series and more. But first, just want to let you all know to go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to subscribe to ESPN Plus to watch games and more. And yeah, let's get to it. Before we get to it here, I did want to mention that we'll be letting you all know on our Twitter account when the next episode will be released when the second round series schedule comes out. And we are back. We have guest Will Wright on. Will, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. It's not often where you say the Rangers have to take care of business in a series, and they do exactly that.
Yep. Big sweep. Bruins out. It's a big win.
Yeah, I don't know. Since 2007. Okay, honestly, I mean, yeah, we swept them, but like, couldn't we have swept them harder?
Yeah. It's true.
I guess so, Brad. Yeah, I guess so.
I'm just saying, if you're not beating them, 6-1, 6-0 every game, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, 95% XG share.
Just looking at didn't ship them out every single game. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. There's no way this team has it in them.
No. Maybe if you put Jonathan Quick in there. Maybe.
Yeah.
But Carolina's like a minute away. They just scored the empty netter. So,
okay.
How are you feeling confidence level versus these guys?
I feel as good as I could feel. I think, I think we'll win. I think we'll win in six. That's my prediction, but I think they'll be very close games. I think there might be one game where they blow us out. Because I feel like that's just what Carolina does. But I think we have the depth, especially with hopefully Hedo coming back in. But even if he doesn't come back in, I think we can match them. I think we need the top six guys to maybe step up a little bit more. But I think we can win that series. How do you guys feel?
I mean, you sound pretty enthusiastic. I mean, I'm not saying they can't beat him. I think they can beat him. I think they will. It's and I think that blowout game might come out in game one. I think it's maybe. Be a wake up call saying like, hey, sure, you took care of business versus Washington, but now you're playing a legitimate contender. But for me, Carolina just doesn't seem built to win a cup. They just seem to be that nuisance of a team that goes on a run, whether it's the second round or conference finals, and then some team puts it together what they really are and does the same, game plan where you tighten up the middle of the ice, let them throw 40 shots on net from the outside. And if you have an elite goalie, you could just do that counterattack when they make a mistake and that's it. I mean, teams that obviously don't have elite goaltending, obviously that doesn't work and they're screwed basically, but eventually one team figures it out and then they just fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, structurally, I think the Rangers defensively are, I think we've heard all the quotes from players. They're much better drilled now than they were under Gallant. I don't know what they were.
They had practice under Gallant?
I don't know what they were doing under him. I think my concern, if I have one concern, it's that from this series with the Capitals, I know this was the talking point on X, Twitter, whatever, the past couple of days. Just the offensive generation at 5-on-5, especially I think the Panarin line, they were great all season. I don't want to break them up, but I think you need a little bit more at 5-on-5 from them. But that's my only concern. Not my only concern. I mean, Carolina is a good team, but that's the main concern, is just kind of ramping it up a little bit at 5-on-5. But I they're a good team, Carolina, but I feel as good as I think I could feel about the series beforehand. I'm going to miss a lot of it. So I just want to feel good about it, so I have something to look forward to after.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Brett?
Yeah, Brett's awfully quiet.
Oh, I was just giving the
guess. I mean, Brett, your favorite player on the Rangers is coming back after like 6 months here.
Well, allegedly. Tony. We'll see.
I mean, would you be shocked if he doesn't play game one? I feel like he could have played game three or four. It's just with Washington's, you know, dirty shenanigans, I didn't think they wanted to risk a Wilson flying elbow.
I expect him to be back. I do. Honestly, I'm not really worried about Carolina at all. I think Carolina, I kind of think like they're frauds, honestly. Like they play what I would call a very predictable kind of hockey that if you have a good enough team, you should be able to beat. I'm honestly not that worried about them. They only have a couple players that I consider like true game breaking kind of players or even approach that realm. And then I think their depth really falls off a cliff. So to me, they don't have the top end talent to compete with us. I don't think they have the depth to compete with us. They don't have the goaltending to compete with us. They do have probably the best single defenseman in the game, but their overall defensive core isn't anything that I'm super fearful of either. So I just honestly, I would say Rangers in five. I think we lay one stinker after like taking out the home games and then letting one go in Raleigh. That's kind of what I expect to have happen. Of course, it's hockey, and this is kind of the one point I do want to address with just to bring it back to the Cap series since we just launched Rated in the Future, is that a lot of people are like, yeah, it was expected. Yeah, they were a terrible team, worst team to make the playoffs in the Cup and the Cap era. And that's a valid point. I'm not trying to dispute that. But also, again, I think people often underestimate just how close the teams are in hockey, where it's like even the worst team can beat the best team in a given night. So you come out and you and that was still a Capitals team. The reason why they were the worst team was their goal differential, but that was because they were getting lit the fuck up for a lot of the year. And near the end kind of turned it around and actually were like, hey, we do know how to play hockey. So to take four games, and I think in very convincing fashion, is still a massive feat, even if they were the worst team in the playoffs to come in there, because this is the game of hockey and anything can happen any game. So you come in there and you take four straight. That is impressive, and no one should feel the least bit like that didn't matter, that wasn't real, oh, the Caps weren't that good. I just think that's bullshit in hockey. It's not like how it is in other sports where I think the outcome is a little bit more predictable. It's just it's such a random game. And so to come out and not just to win four in a row, but also to we were trailing for, 3 minutes in the series, something like that?
Yeah.
Just extremely convincing fashion. So I just want to point that out. So to then bring that back to Carolina, I expect us to win in five, maybe six. But anything and absolutely anything can happen. So we don't really know. I don't really see, unless the Rangers just come out and play mid-season second period form Rangers.
Yeah.
If they don't do that, I don't see how we lose, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. With Carolina, like their XG figures, I mean, I think there's are some serious question marks about the way they record their shots in their arena. I mean, they've been score adjusted already, I think, on like Money Puck and Evolving Hockey, but I mean, yeah.
Money Puck loves them.
Yeah, they do.
Honestly, I think when Money Puck liked the Rangers for that one or two nights, it actually was more concerning than was happening.
Yeah, that was a wild couple days. That hasn't really happened with Money Puck and the Rangers. But yeah, I agree about the Canes. I think they are a very predictable team, and I agree. I think quality wise, the Rangers have like man for man better team, for sure. And I mean, Gensel's a great player, but Gensel's not better than Panarin, and he's not on Panarin's level.
Yeah.
And you know, Aho's probably, I don't know, Zibanejad, Trocheck, you know, level player. So yeah, I agree with you for the most part, Brett. I just think they get these bounces from all the crap that they throw at the net. So I think that might be what pushes it to six. But I feel confident that the Rangers will pull that one out. And the power play is looking awesome. And Igor looks great. And when those two things are working together, it's pretty hard to beat the Rangers.
Yeah, no, that's the recipe for the Rangers. Be average or a little tad above average, 5-5, be elite on the power play, and have Shesterkin, you know, play out of his mind as usual, and you're golden. And they proved in 2022 it can work. They proved that could work. And with the 5-5, I mean, I know obviously they swept them, but the Rangers do have the tendency to play at the intensity level of their opponent. Like, how many times I'm going to say Arizona, and people are going to mention the last time they played Arizona, they blew them out of the water. But usually when they play bottom teams, right, they don't really blow them out of the water that much. It's usually a 3-2 game or a 2-1 game. But then you also see the next game or the next week, they beat Colorado 3-2 and then beat Carolina 2-1. Like, it's just, they don't really ever blow out the bad teams, but it doesn't reflect or show that that means that they won't be able to score on the good teams. It's just this weird thing with them where they play to the intensity of the opponent. I'm not really concerned. I think that blowout game, again, that you mentioned, might come game one. That might be a wake-up call. Who knows? Maybe Hedo coming back game one. I think maybe it's a good boost for the Rangers too. So maybe that doesn't happen. But again, as Brett said, Carolina is a predictable team. I think it's just they're not built to be a Stanley Cup champion team. They're not. I mean, there is no one on that roster that I'm really scared of, worried about. It's not like 2 years ago where I saw Crosby and Gensel. I'm like, well, shoot, that's a problem. Gensel, I don't know how big of a pain in the side he's going to be. But it's just, again, even though I think he might be, I don't think that's got to be enough. I'm probably a bit lower on Aho than most people are. Svechnikov, I think, maybe could be, again, also a pain in the side. But, I don't think they just have enough power, enough depth. They're meant to be that team play style, and they just don't have enough weapons. And Anderson isn't even playing well, so they don't even have the goaltending to back it up either.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the goaltending plan is. Did Anderson start? Did he start at all six games, all five games of this series? Because I know Kochetkov was doing well for a little while.
Yeah, he was. I don't know. I don't know, because honestly, that series was so disinteresting to me.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I was just hoping the Islanders were going to drag it out. That was it. I was just like, I'm not going to watch it that much. I just hope the Islanders drag it out a little bit. But
I've been watching a fair amount of playoff hockey, but it hasn't been that series, you know. There's other ones that I find more interesting, just personally to me.
He played for – oh, no, he played all five because the stats aren't in this game.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, Anderson doesn't worry me that much. I mean, that's a good example of what I was talking about with the shot recording data.
He has a 920 save percentage, but, man, the goals that he let up, and I don't think that reflects.
Yeah, Anderson doesn't – he's not winning a goalie battle against Igor in the playoffs. That's not happening.
I actually would worry more if they put Kuchenkov in there. I remember he seemed to do very successful against the Rangers.
I
could be wrong.
I think he had
Ranta, right?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, gosh. The ex-Ranger factor.
Yeah.
Does that count towards goaltenders, or is that just for ex-NYR players scoring scoring a goal?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember how Talbot's done against the Rangers.
Yeah, I think it was just like a neutral. There was no worse or bad or like, you know, good or bad. Rookie goalies, weirdly, the Rangers do take advantage of. It's the veteran third string backup goalies. Mm-hmm. But ex-Ranger. Hold on, I got to look up Talbot's stats first. There's no way, obviously, they're going to stop Ranta, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, barring some.
But if there was like a former Rangers fan working for Carolina, you know, he's saying like, "Hey, you know, like they're not usually good versus this." versus Rangers, that is. But yeah, I mean, you're probably as confident as you can be against a contender going into a series. I mean, you can never be like, "Oh yeah, we'll wipe them," you know, off the face of the earth. Like, because no contender can you say that to.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And I mean, in the East, I mean, it's Florida, Carolina, the Rangers.
Florida is the one I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of. They have a good combo of grit and skill. I don't like it. And they have Bobrovsky.
Yeah, they're good. I don't know. I don't know what'll
happen. I tell you, I'm not afraid of Bob, though. That's for sure.
Well, Panarin has his number, no?
Yeah, and I know Bob can play great, and I his ceiling is still a very high goaltender. But I think in a series two, we still massively have the edge in Golden
State. Yeah, we do, for sure.
So, yeah, but, yeah, Florida's basically about the only team that really scares me at all. And I've been saying that for the last few months, actually, that they're one of the few teams that gives me a little bit of pause. I still think we win, though. Like, honestly, like, I'm really not – I feel it's so weird going into the playoffs and feeling confident, not just, like, hopeful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was – like the first playoff series I can remember, maybe the Penguins won back in, was it 2015, where we won 4-1. But this was like probably the first playoff series ever where I was like,
they actually played like a contender as they should be. They're like, yeah, now we'll just stretch this to 7 because, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to play more games and be more stressed? So
I just wasn't tense at all during like any of the games. Like I was like, okay, they'll pull it out. Like, They're gonna win. I just wasn't worried about it. And yeah, like you said, Brett, like, yes, it's the Capitals, but like it's the NHL. These, like, there's not a massive gap between all these teams. So to feel that way in the playoffs is a different feeling than I'm used to in the past, than I think a lot of Rangers fans are used to.
I can get used to it, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
That'd be nice. So Will, where would you put Hedl now? Would you put him on the right wing or would you put him on the third line?
I would put him on the third line. I think Roslovic's been good, like good enough on the first line. So I wouldn't break them up. I think Hedl's always been better at center. And I think like I'd be pretty comfortable with Wennberg dropping down on that fourth line, like VC, Wennberg, Gaudreau, or Brodzinski. I doubt Gaudreau ever comes out of the lineup. Like that's a pretty good fourth line. I know the results with that third line were really good against the Capitals, but they weren't generating a ton offensively. And I think Hedl is both, you know, excellent defensively and a really good offensive driver. So I'd like to see, at least for a game or two, when he comes back in, him with Cooley and Kako. If it doesn't work out and the first line isn't generating anything, sure, bump him up to first line right wing. But I'd like to see him at center because I think that's his best position. And I think that just makes the team a lot deeper. I think he offers like a more of a scoring threat than Wennberg does. And like I said, Wennberg can drop down and you're really comfortable then with that fourth line. I don't know. What do you guys think?
He's in a top six jersey now, right? From what I remember, he was in a blue top six.
Yeah, I think he was in a blue. Yeah, I think he was. So maybe they're getting ready for him to be on the wing. I don't know.
I feel like if he's on the third line, he's going to have to be the kind of the leader of that line, kind of initiate and start a play. And even though the first line would go up versus the harsher and more skilled opponent or the skilled line, he has Mika and Kreider with him.
Yeah.
And where he could kind of like slowly get into it. Whereas if he's on the third line, he's the one that has to lead that line. It might be a little.
But that's also what he's used to doing. So
yeah,
I do get your point, Will, for sure. And it does make sense to start him where he's comfortable, start him on the third line matchups. It definitely makes sense. And that's probably, I kind of think that is what they will do regardless of what they have in practice lines too. I think maybe it's, to me, it might be something like, hey, practice up here in case we do want to get you in there. And that way you have some rest with these guys in practice and see what it feels like on the wing. But we'll start you off in your comfortable position.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like we have to do everything we possibly can to make that top line as good as it possibly can be. And while Roslovic was, has been a decent little shot in the arm, at least compared to what it was before, it still doesn't quite feel like it's enough. And it seems like Hedl could be the, especially not just that Hedl is skilled and everything else. It's also just that, like, what I love about Hedl, what I miss so much is there's very few guys that even attempt on the Rangers to like carry the puck in with possession into the
offensive. I thought you were going to say skate fest.
No, well, but Roslovic isn't slow. So, you know, like,
but
Hedl is like, basically it's like Hedl and Trocheck are like really the only guys on the team that like consistently want to carry the puck into the zone with possession and are good at doing it too. And so I would love to kind of see, you know, a Kreider streaking and Mika in the center of the ice waiting for a pass with Heedle being able to carry the puck in on the wing. I feel like that might just open up a lot more offense generation. So that's kind of what I want to see happen. But it's your point's very fair. I won't be like, he's not on the first line. You got to be fucking kidding me. Like, it's you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, well, whatever they decide to do, and then if it doesn't work, I think they'll be pretty comfortable switching to another one. But it's just like you said with the depth. It's nice to have, like, it pushes the depth even further down and just gives us so many options for what we can do. And frankly, just I can't wait and hope to see my boy playing again. I mean, just as like a purely fan of his for such a long time, it was since he came up. And then seeing him get hurt was just so devastating that not even just for what it does for our playoffs, just to see him out there playing would just warm my cold, bitter little heart. So I'm really hoping to see that, whether it's first or third.
Totally agree. Yeah, I just want to see him play again. Yeah. I was shocked that it was even a possibility that he would.
I mean, it was a maybe and a hopeful that he could continue his career next year. Yeah. And then not even 2 months later, he's back in a contact jersey. It wasn't even like he went from no contact to some contact. No, just straight up contact. That was very, very weird. I thought, because I remember Vince tweeted out showing Heedle's jersey in the locker room. And I thought, I'm like, okay, so he's like doing his rehab here. And I guess they just want him to be with the guys during their run. That makes sense. And then it's just the next day is a contact jersey. And it was very, very, very shocking.
Yeah, and the reports of the reporter saying how he looks in practice too. He's been flying around the ice and looking really good too is obviously super encouraging. Are we all of the mind too that the only reason he wasn't in the Cap series was because it might be a more rough series? Are we all of that same shared opinion?
First two games, maybe he needed more time in practice, but the last two games for me, for sure.
I think so. Yeah. Like we were saying, I think right before we hopped on. I mean, I'm so glad that Cap series was four games, because God knows if it went another game, if Tom Wilson, what he would have done. So yeah, I think they kept Tito out because of that. There's definitely that threat.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you probably won't ever get official confirmation on it, but it just makes too much sense for it not to be the case, because otherwise, why not get him in there against a weaker opponent, you know, and get his feet wet, that sort of thing, before the next harder series? It's kind of the only thing that makes any logical sense to me, because if he really isn't that close to returning, then why is he coming back at all? Then it's like either he's good now or he's not good. You know, he's full contact the whole thing. So yeah, I just was curious if there was any other outlying opinions on why he may not have played in the Cap series.
Okay, I'm curious. So if you put Heedle on the first line right wing, what would you do with Roslovic?
He's not really a third liner. That's the thing. Like, if you replace him with Wennberg's fine for the fourth line because of his defensive, you know, abilities, but Roslovic's not really a third liner. He kind of needs that time to do things. And I think he'd be scratched.
I don't have an answer. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I would do with him.
It just seems like he's like all or nothing with the first line. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of seems like how Laviolette's like played him so far. You know, it's like if he's played well enough to play on the first line, he's got those minutes. If not, I don't know. He's been in the doghouse like once, I think, right? Once or twice.
Yeah. But the thing was, is there were also a few players like that.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of that was they were having a rough schedule. So, Might as well give them that one game, because I feel like they were kind of doing game management with the players, which I think is smart, because we remember how 2022 went, where the whole Rangers team in the Tampa series just like stopped moving. I mean, who knew having a coach that knows what they're doing would be this effective? It's a crazy concept when you're a coach and you actually do as your job description tells you to do. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy having the players with all these quotes throughout the year too, literally saying that too.
Like Capocacco's like, this is a coach?
Yeah.
Gosh, they had to go through Quinn and Gallant. Oh my gosh.
What do you guys think of, did you think Quinn would lose his job? This year, did you think he'd lose his job this year? I'm sure eventually you thought he'd lose his job.
No, no. Because I thought that this was their plan to just suck.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I thought they'd keep him on another year, but I don't know.
I mean, he's probably telling
two Sharks games.
Yeah, he's probably telling William Eklund to not shoot with his backhander, you know? So
it's that's the thing too, is that like I don't really know how he would get a very long lead for a long tenure. I mean, obviously it's with a shit organization that wasn't planning on winning anyway. But I do wonder if there weren't some complaints along the way, just like who was it that was interviewed that did talk about Quinn's weird little rules that he has for players, like not carrying the puck into the zone on his backhand and how he would get on players for that type of thing.
I don't remember.
Was it Kako?
No, it wasn't Kako. I mean, we all knew it referred to Kako. And Kako did say something about Quinn in a foreign interview that was like, he was still being diplomatic, but you could tell he didn't like it.
I don't think he said Quinn outright, but everyone's like, it's Quinn. He's talking about Quinn.
Wait, wasn't Spooner? Was Spooner with us?
No. Spooner left during the Kako, after the, right before the Kako draft.
Yeah, because we traded him for Strom.
And that's when the Panarin-Strom.
Who was it then? But yeah. I remember the interview and remember being like, damn, that is damning. It just made me feel like this is not a real development coach just because he played, or just because he was a coach in college doesn't mean he necessarily knows how to develop young players for the NHL. So how he handled the Rangers made me think he was a fraud of a coach. So any tenure that he has anywhere, I think is pretty suspect. So I'm not the least bit surprised by him getting canned. Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, it was bound to happen. I was just a little surprised that it happened so soon, I guess. He did 2 years there. So I guess they found out what they needed to find out.
Can you remember a team that in this position fired the coach when it was a clear rebuild? It wasn't even like, okay, maybe we'll see if we could maybe either not even sneak into the playoffs, but see if we could like try to battle it out for a playoff spot. It was just, it was so clear that they were going to be a top three pick or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of any. So
speaking of which, at least Pittsburgh now can't get the first overall pick because of the new rules. Because we know if those new rules weren't in place, they'd be getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Balls would go their way for sure.
Yeah. Kind of like both times when they were at risk of bankruptcy, just happens to be they get the first overall pick both times. And then now Crosby closer to getting older. I don't know. That's
should be a Ranger. Should have been a Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's Jacob Flat Earth Berkowitz going off with the conspiracy talk again.
You're going to tell me I'm wrong about this one?
No, you're not.
Yeah, there we go. Because Pittsburgh was a real one.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, have you seen any playoff series they play in? No, it's just blatant in their calls. It's not even like they're trying to hide it. I remember watching the Islanders-Pittsburgh series during the Rangers rebuild. And I'm like, okay, like I hate the Islanders, but like this is clearly in favor of Pittsburgh. It's not even close. Like you're not even trying to hide it.
I can't believe it. I was watching what was it? I was watching I think it was the Canucks series like on TNT, and at one point they're sitting there talking about Sidney Crosby, and I'm like, how the fuck are we talking about goddamn Sidney Crosby in the series? He's not even in the playoffs.
Out of curiosity, when they weren't talking about Crosby, were they talking about Makar? Because that's usually the secondary option after Crosby.
Yeah, I can stomach people talking about Makar, though.
But I remember it was like a Rangers versus it wasn't Colorado they were playing. It was, I think – no, it wasn't Pittsburgh, so they would have just talked about Crosby for 60 minutes. Okay. They were playing versus another contender, just like a random Wednesday night game. And they're like – and Fox passed the puck, and then all of a sudden they started talking about Makar. I'm like, where did you come up with this? Like, you could talk about the players that are playing in the game, you know. It's not a crime. But it's
yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, I feel like with Fox, like people like I like watching McCarr. Like he obviously he's an incredibly entertaining player, but I feel like with Fox, like you'll see like Jay Fresh, for example, will like be like post Fox's card, and we'll be like, oh, he's not the most flashy player, because. What, because he's not McCarr? Like, Fox does some ridiculous things. And just because he's not fast, like, I don't know. I feel like Fox is a very flashy player. He just does it in a different way. But he gets compared to McCarr in that way, you know, in terms of flashiness.
Yeah, and honestly, the analysis, you know, outside of Rangers world about Adam Fox is I'm pretty fucking tired of hearing just – so smart. Oh, such a smart player. Cerebral. Smart, yeah. smart. I'm like, yeah, that is true. That's not false. But, like, there's other aspects of his game that you could talk about. Or, like, my cousin was here and we were watching the games. He's like, man, Fox's head fakes are so fucking good. Like, he is able to create passing and shooting lanes just by how he's able to, like, just mess with somebody's head with his head fakes. So I was like, yeah, great way to notice that. Have I ever heard a fucking national commentator talk about that? No, it's just, he went to Harvard and he's such a smart player. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, back to the Crosby show.
You know, how about his decision making? Like, one of my favorite things that I see Adam Fox do regularly that always kind of makes me laugh is, like, when he's, like, is in his own zone and he's got the puck, he will literally wait until the last second until the guy is about to check him before he dishes off the puck just to fully remove him from the play.
Yeah.
And it's just like this tiny little thing that he does. And like, and he does that thing, like you could put a microscope on his game and just notice all these little things that he does. But you're right, they don't talk about it. And to me, for real, you know, for I think for real hockey fans, it is flashy shit, but it's not, you know, may not be highlight real flashy like McCarr is, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like you're saying with those passes where he draws like the forechecker in, he almost always pulls it off too.
Yep.
It's also crazy how like if you're coming into the NHL like that, you could fool them like your first season, but once like they do video on you and they see how you like do shoulder fakes and your type of moves, like it should be easier to like shut down. Like, but the fact that he's continuing to do this and still fooling people like it's his like their first time ever seeing him on the ice, it's
insane. We're talking about that I think he might be the best defenseman I've ever seen at keeping the puck in the zone in on a power play.
Yep.
For he's a sure. fucking vacuum out there. It's ridiculous.
But he doesn't skate fast, so
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you don't really need to skate fast if no one has any idea where you're going in the first place.
Yeah.
Very true.
Not to mention, he's probably like flat out the best passing defenseman in the league. Like the passes he can pull off because of his head fakes are insane.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I love watching him. So glad he's a Ranger. Thank you, Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you imagine?
Look, I get Calgary. I mean, I don't whatever your opinion is on Calgary booing him, but what is Carolina booing him for? He didn't even like get there for like 2 minutes.
I agree,
he was in the airport waiting for his next gate in Raleigh.
Did he even like visit the state of South Carolina ever?
I don't think maybe he went to I don't know if he would go to a development camp or not, but like I get Flames fans that are like fuck Adam Fox, like I understand that they've drafted
Carolina
like a,
doing it for
and at that point I feel like it was like pretty widely suspected like he wants to be a Ranger. So
yeah. They should have had their own organization for drafting a player that they know didn't want to play for them too. There's
I get it too.
Like, and people, that whole argument too kind of bothers me because people go like, oh, well, he should have to play with the place he signed. I'm like, what other job are you forced to sign a contract and work for an employer you don't want to work for? Like,
yeah.
That's fucking crazy. And people go, oh, well, then it ruins the whole purpose of the draft. I'm like, no, because not many players are able to have the leverage to be able to do that. The vast majority do sign with the team that they go to. It's not a problem just because the odd person goes, no, I don't want to play for you. I want to play for the team I want to play for. And, you know, can force their way there. If it was an epidemic of players doing that all the time, I'd be more sensitive and receptive to the argument. But otherwise, it's like, I also feel like if it was like the first year and they were booing him, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of funny, you know. But I'm like, God, all right, get the fuck over it now. I'm sorry your team sucks.
Yeah.
But like, get the fuck over it. He was never going to play for you.
Well, I would argue on Calgary. What was he? He was drafted in the third round, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'd argue with Calgary drafting him because I'm like, say percentage wise, you know, he's not probably going to play for you, but you know how good he's going to be, which means he's going to have really good trade value. And the odds are of any player in that round having even close to that trade value. I mean, no one thought he was going to be this, right? But
yeah,
under those circumstances, you'd still have that high trade value where nowhere else you would have that. So, I mean, look who they got for him. You know, they got Elias Lindholm, or at the time he's no longer there, and then Noah Hanifin. So yeah, they did just acquire an asset. It may not have been the asset they wanted, but it was a nice backup plan. Like, but if it was the first round, I'd agree. It's just like, then what are you doing?
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
Both teams got good players in that deal that they made for Fox, Calgary and Carolina. So yeah,
I just love how Calgary at the time, not Calgary, I'm sorry, Carolina at the time. This was, I believe, right before Aho got like to an elite level or like he was getting there. Like they really wanted a center, and then they trade Elias Lindholm, and then he like breaks out the next year.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Like, yeah, like, I don't know what Carolina's doing. Like, what is Carolina trading Fox for? That I'd question. What are you doing?
I guess at that point they knew he wasn't going to sign, right? So
yeah.
They get two second. I think it was two second round picks.
No, I'm saying, why did Carolina trade him from Calgary?
Oh, for Fox from Calgary.
Like, I get Calgary's perspective why they drafted him, but what is Carolina doing trading? You know he's going to want to be a Ranger and play in New York. Well, what are you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that's why I don't feel bad for Carolina fans with him. It was known at that point, like as much as it could be known, that Fox wanted to be a Ranger.
In the analytics community, what was the potential of Fox at the time?
I guess for like prospects at that time, and I think for the most part, actually it's developed a little bit since, but at that time it was mostly just off NHLE, and his NHLE was really high. So the guy who, the main person who I like has that model on Twitter, Byron, I'm forgetting what his last name is.
Bryson.
Yeah, I think, I want
to
find out
who you're referring to, the comparables. I think Gabe Perreault was like a Jager comparable or something. Like
oh
that.
Yeah. Byron Bader. Yeah, he's a Flames fan, and he was like super attached to Fox. And so I feel bad about that. I mean, Fox, for people who are like very into, I mean, I think NHL is useful, but for people who are like kind of live and die by it, Fox was always kind of, it was pretty hyped because he was insanely productive from like day one at the NTDP. So,
but like at this level, people thought he'd be?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check. I want to look now. I'm curious. I don't know if I still have my account on there. I can probably find a tweet though from him. I think at the very least, like they were like high level, like 65 point, power play one, you know, back in the day, star defenseman. Cause I guess that was,
how was he a third rounder? That's what I don't understand.
The skating and a little bit smaller. I think, do you guys follow Jack Hahn? He was some coach for the Marlies for a couple of years. I forget, like an assistant coach, I think, for the Marlies. So he was, or actually, I think he was one of their scouts for a year or two. And he had Fox rated as like a third rounder, a third or fourth rounder. And he wrote an article like 2 years ago about like why he was wrong about Fox. And it was about like how he underestimated his ability like execute those head fakes and things like that at the pro level. I guess the skating and people just didn't think it would translate.
Well, that's good for us.
Yeah, no, it worked out. I'm happy.
I'm pretty happy about that. I'm just looking at like Goodrow's analytics. What has he been eating in the playoffs? Like, I don't think this is going to continue for the record. But how does a guy have a goal and like two assists? I guess versus Washington, but still.
Yeah, he's played well. I don't know what's been going on with him, but
doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, but he's played well. I'll take it. I'm happy with him so far.
Yeah, I like not hating him.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's a nice feeling.
Like when people like ever say like, "See, you were wrong." I'm like, I'm a Rangers fan. I want to be wrong about him not being good. I want him to be good. Please prove me wrong.
Yeah, I don't want to not like a player. I want them to be good.
$6 million player playing on the fourth line and not doing well. Like, I want to be wrong about him. Please prove me wrong.
So I just checked, and Fox in his draft year was a comparable to Seth Jones, according to that, NHL-y.
Well, they were right if they were going to project a contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Both 9.5.
He was a 60% chance to be an NHLer and a 17% chance to be a star.
17?
Yeah, 17.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah, worked out for us.
Yeah, no, that's wow. Yeah, not often that happens. I mean, like, man, I get this notion with the, this old man. I don't know if you'd call it just purely GMs. I think it was like a biasness amongst scouts, too, where if you're too small and you're too slow, like, get the hell out of here. It just seemed Fox was the anomaly of the bunch where, like, if you're just small, like, that's not a reason to, brush someone off. And if you're just a little bit slow, I mean, there are plenty of players now to show that it's okay to be not the fastest player as long as your smarts make up for it. It just seemed like since Fox had a combo of both, he was kind of a bit of an anomaly. Yeah. Because his smarts were just so ridiculous. And it's not like his skating is terrible now.
Yeah. It's like foot speed wise, he is slow, but
his mobility,
lateral mobility is really good. I don't know. Good stuff for us.
Yeah. And Trouba starting on the third pair. So
yep.
It's crazy. I thought they would never, no chance do that. You wouldn't put an $8 million player on third pair. And, if the Rangers for some reason offense stalls, would you consider putting in Zach Jones for Trouba?
If I was the coach, yeah, sure. I thought Zach Jones was great in his in his audition this year. So, next season, like, I think for like a little bit this season, for the most part earlier, it was like, oh, how are we going to re-sign Gustafson, which was probably never realistic. But Zach Jones played so well, at least from what I saw, that I would not hesitate at all, really, to put him in if we need a little bit more offensively. I thought he played really well.
Yep. Yeah, I would lock him up. I mean, personally, for me, for the third pair next year, mm-hmm. I think he's just the perfect Gustafson replacement. It gives you the cap flexibility to address other certain needs or resign. Yeah. And
makes too much
sense. Huh?
Yeah, it makes too much sense.
Yeah,
no. Yeah.
It makes the amount of sense as buying out Goodrow as well.
Yeah.
Well, do we think they're going to trade him or buy him out?
Can they trade him?
Well, Arizona doesn't exist anymore, so shoot.
Well, after we win the
our
cup,
our money laundering team does not exist. It's a problem.
After we win the cup, though, we can pawn him off as a three-time Stanley Cup champion that knows how to win games. He can help your young developing team do what needs to be done in the bottom six. The kind of grit that wins games. There's a GM in the league that's dumb enough, right? If we win the cup, we can trade him. If not, I think we have to buy him out. That's what I think happens with Goodrow.
Well, he does have a modified no trade clause, so it just
It's like 12 team though, isn't it?
But when do they update it? Do they update it every July? Like, are they allowed to update every July, or just a one-time thing that they're able to do? Because, like, if it's just a one-time thing, I'm pretty sure you're able to update it once a year.
Yeah, I would think you're able to update it, but I don't know.
Because, like, certain teams that were contenders are no longer contenders. You're not going to want to go to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. Well, I guess what happens now that Arizona switched to Utah? If Arizona was on your no trade clause list, does that automatically transfer to Utah? Or are the GMs like, well, it sucks to be you. That's technically not Arizona anymore. So adios.
I would say, like, my guess would be you're able to update it. But I guess to the Arizona players who wanted to be in Arizona, which I don't know who those were, maybe like Clayton Keller, they did say, sucks to be you. You're going to Utah. So I don't know. I don't know how it works. I would think you update it every July 1st, but I'm not really sure. Or maybe when they ask you if you want to be traded. I don't know.
Well, if you're if you're Ottawa, you just don't ask and worry about it later and trade them to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I was like, oh, wait, I'm getting traded? I thought I had a trade clause. Not now you have. Now you don't. What, no trade clause? We don't know what you're talking about. But, all right, before we end it off here, so, Will, you said six games?
Yeah, I think six games. Rangers said six.
Which is the game you think they're going to be blown out?
I'll go game three.
Gotcha. And then,
yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. If it's not game one, then yeah, it'll be when Carolina's at home. That's what about you, Brett? Yeah. You said five?
Yep.
Any
blowout games? I said game three.
Is it a blowout or is it just a...
No, I honestly don't think they're capable of blowing us out anymore. And I think this team has way too much heart and way too much comeback spirit that even if we lose, even if we go down like 3-0 in the first period, I'm like, we're going to make this a game. Like that's honestly where my confidence level is. That's what I've seen out of this team this year too, is that we don't fucking quit on games even when we haven't played well. So I don't think Carolina blows us out one game. I don't. I do think they steal one from us though.
That is true. I agree with you about that. This team does fight back pretty much every time.
Yeah. And especially how they don't hold that energy. Like, I don't see it.
And momentum doesn't really, I mean, the only time momentum really matters is once the other team scores like their first goal of the game and the Rangers are up 2-0. That's the only time I've ever seen the Rangers be affected by momentum. But it's like when Washington scored, the Rangers scored like 30 seconds later. And they're like, unless we're up 2-0, we don't care. Like when 2-0, then we'll maybe fall apart. But I got to agree with that. The truth is, I think it, obviously 5 or 6, it just depends on can Anderson, whoever's in net, be a functional goaltender. I'm going to go with 6 here. I think one of them goes into OT, which Carolina wins. I think Rangers win in this in 6, and then it's onto the one team that personally for me are a bit afraid of. Man, Tarasenko is going to be a nightmare. You know it. It's going to be.
That's an easy bet.
How's he been doing, by the way?
I honestly don't know.
I mean, he's gone through so many injuries, but for some reason, when the playoffs start, like he just turns back the clock. How's he been doing, Tarasenko? Go. He's one goal, 2 assists, 3 points, 5 games.
Yeah.
Meh. Yeah.
Okay.
Meh. Alrighty. By the way, one last thing before we go, because it's not a playoff podcast until we rip Toronto. Have you guys seen the tweet where it's like they name off like 4 or 3 clutch playoff performers? And they were all former Leafs, so the Leafs just threw by the wayside.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
I think it was like Hyman, Verhage, McCann. who's the other one? Yeah, I don't remember. but I'm pretty shocked they won tonight. All right, before we end this here, Will, do you want to plug in Twitter account, Pulisic's blog, anything you're doing?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, WWright88, and I haven't wrote anything recently for Pulisic's blogs, but I will have some draft coverage coming up. I just haven't had a lot of time to watch any, you know, minor or junior hockey and stuff. So I'm gonna have some draft coverage coming up in the next couple months. And so yeah, feel free to read it whenever it comes up.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Perfect.
And also one last thing before we go here, because we all met here in November and we were all discussing fantasy hockey. And in a matter of that, Brett, people said Brett's team, you know, was better than mine.
Yeah, this is true. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You kicked my ass.
I'll give Brett that he had brutal injuries at the wrong time. I'll give him that. He had horrendous injuries.
Well, that as I said to you too as well, that Will and I both cannibalized each other's teams.
That is true.
So we both weakened each other in order to prop you up is what really happened this season.
Well, from what I remember you saying is that Will Wright's team's basically yours because that's the team you wanted.
Well, no, so because he got like five or six guys that I wanted on my team. Yeah, so yeah.
No, the vice versa. I wanted so many players you had, Brett. So maybe our combined team would have.
Yeah, we should workshop that next year before the draft.
Yeah. Collusion. I love it.
Yeah. Openly admitted to collusion on record here. Oh, man. All right, Will, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, we'll see you again.
Yeah, thanks, guys.